Well, hello, everybody, and welcome to Basic Gospel. With Bob Christopher, I'm Bob Davis, and if it's 3 p.m. Central, you're hearing Basic Gospel Live, and we invite you to call and speak directly with us right now at 844-322-2742. That's the number for the U.S. and Canada, 844-322-2742. Give us a call. We want to hear from you. If you're hearing a delayed broadcast, you can still get your question to us by voicemail at the same number, and we'll be glad to discuss it on the air on the live Basic Gospel program on a near future edition. But in the U.S. and Canada, again, 844-322-2742, we invite you to call right now. Why? Because it's Basic Gospel. And here's Bob Christopher.
Well, thanks, Bob. I'm going to read a passage today out of the book of Romans chapter 4, and it relates to righteousness, this righteousness that we have as children of God as a gift from God. So righteousness is not something that we earn. It's God's gift to give, and he gave that to us. By grace, we've been justified, we've been made right freely by the grace of God. So in chapter 4, Paul talks about Abraham. He's the father of faith, and so he believed God. It was credited to him as righteousness. And so Paul had this to say, "Now to the one who works, his wages are not counted as a gift, but as his due." So if we're going to try to work for righteousness, then if we obtain to the standards and we get righteousness, we've earned that.
Yes.
We've worked for it. But we can't do it. No one will be declared righteous through obedience to the law. We can't be obedient to the law 100% of the time. So we're not going to earn righteousness. So if we're going to be made righteous, that has to be given to us. So he says in verse 5, "And to the one who does not work, but trust him who justifies the ungodly, his faith is counted as righteousness." So you and I, we were the ungodly. And thank goodness God justifies the ungodly. That means we have hope. And so when we come to Christ, we're justified. So he goes on to say, here's the benefit. Here's what this means to you. This is what happens to you internally. So he said, "Just as David also speaks of the blessing of the one to whom God counts righteousness apart from works." And then Paul quotes a passage out of the book of Psalms, Psalm 33, verses 1 and 2. He said, "Blessed are those whose lawless deeds are forgiven and whose sins are covered. Blessed is the man against whom the Lord will not count his sin." So to be declared righteous means that your sins have been forgiven,
right,
and they will never be counted against you. That's good news.
Yeah.
So anyone who has come to Christ by faith has been declared righteous, which means all of their sins have been forgiven. In Christ you have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. That puts us into a blessed state.
Yes, indeed.
We are blessed people because of the grace of God that's been given to us in Christ Jesus. So what does this word blessed mean? Well, it means possessing the favor of God. So every day that you wake up in possession of the favor of God. He has connected that to you through this gift of righteousness. He's marked you out as one of his favored ones. It is the state of being marked by fullness from God. So you've been made complete through faith in Jesus Christ. It is the state of the believer in Christ. So if you are in Christ, you are a blessed person. Now, this is different from happiness. All of us can be happy at certain times, and we can be unhappy at other times. That's tied to the circumstances of life. And right now, in this crazy world that we're living in, the circumstances of life aren't making us very happy. I mean, there are many people out there that have lost their jobs, that are experiencing financial disruption in their lives. They're not sure what next month is going to bring for them. And so the circumstances are not very happy. There's a lot of tension that's out there in the world. There's a lot of toxicity in our culture today. And so relationships are strained, and So none of that is going to bring happiness into our lives. But this blessing, being blessed by God, is something totally different. It's not tied to our circumstances. So in Christ, we are blessed people regardless of what's going on around us. So we can experience an inner contentment, an inner joy, knowing that we possess the favor of God. And it's in knowing that that we can draw upon his wisdom and his mercy and his kindness to move forward through any circumstance that comes our way. Yeah. So, believer in Christ, if you're listening, if you're tuned in, if you're hearing these words, mark it. You are a blessed person. Why? Because you have been justified. You have been declared right in the sight of God. Mm-hmm. Live in that favor every single day. And when I say live in that, you are, whether you know it or not,
yes.
I'm saying be aware of that. Mm-hmm. Let your mind align your mind to this truth. And as your mind really anchors itself in this truth that you are favored, highly favored of God, then your emotions and your soul and all of those things will follow suit, will line up with this truth. And you can not only be blessed as a state, I think that's going to lead to an inner happiness and joy.
Yeah.
And if you want some inner happiness and joy, rest in this fact. You have been declared righteous in the sight of God through faith in Jesus Christ.
You have really emphasized all of these points in this series, this eight-message series that you've produced called Revealed. And tomorrow being the last day, we'll offer it to our listeners who support the ministry. Bob, you might just want to kind of go over it once again and make sure everybody understands exactly what it's all about.
This Revealed?
Yes.
Yes, it is a resource of eight messages. I've been teaching through the Book of Romans every Sunday with our Sunday morning live event, and this particular series is the first four chapters. So I've divided up each chapter into two sections, and we've just worked our way through chapters 1-4. And in that, God revealed something to us. He revealed something that was once hidden. And that's the righteousness of God. This has been revealed to us in the gospel of Jesus Christ, and it's ours through faith. And so Paul really makes the case for this grace of God and the righteousness that it brings to us. And the conclusion of it is just what we talked about, the fact that by being declared righteous, we are blessed people. We can live each and every day in the favor of God, not because of the things that we do or we don't do, but because of the gift of righteousness that has been bestowed upon us. So it is a wonderful, wonderful resource. And I just hope everybody will take advantage of this opportunity and get a hold of it.
Yeah.
Listen through it. Take notes. Write things in your Bible. Mark this truth that you have been declared righteous by the grace of God through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Let that truth sink deep into that mind of yours, into that heart of yours, and it will absolutely revolutionize your daily walk with the Lord and how you move through this life here on planet Earth. I mean, this truly is life-changing.
Yes,
so
indeed.
Don't miss this resource, Revealed.
It's all included in Revealed. And as Bob said, it's an eight-message series, and we want you to have a copy of it as our way of saying thank you for your gift to support Basic Gospel, tomorrow being the final day that we'll be making this particular offer. So we wanted to make sure that you understood that and that you understood all about what you'll receive in Revealed. So again, Click donate at basicgospel.net to make your gift no later than tomorrow and receive your copy of Revealed.
Yes, yes, indeed. Well, we have some open lines right now at 844-322-2742. If you would like to jump on with us, we would love to have you. Again, the number 844-322-2742. In the meantime, Ramon is watching us on our YouTube feed, and he had this question: what day is truly the Sabbath? Well, we see from creation that the Sabbath was the seventh day, and if we go by the days of the week, that would be Saturday.
Right.
And certainly in Judaism, with the nation of Israel, after God freed them from Egyptian rule through the Exodus, and when God gave the commandments, gave the law, the fourth is about keeping the Sabbath day holy for the nation of Israel. That day began at sundown on Friday evening and went all the way through sundown on Saturday evening. And then after sundown, it became a new day, the first day of the week. So nothing has changed. That's still the Sabbath day according to the law. Now, most Christians will gather together on Sunday, and they will do so in honor of the resurrection. Now, there's lots of people throughout church history who have tried to make Sunday the new Sabbath. I remember watching Chariots of Fire, and Eric Liddell, or whatever the guy's name, the runner, said, "I can't run on Sunday because that's the Lord's Sabbath." Well, no, according to the scripture, it's Saturday. It's Friday from sundown to Saturday at sundown. So that's still the way it is. But we worship on Sundays because that's the day the Lord was raised to life. Mm-hmm. And resurrection is what joins us together as believers. That's what connects us to the life of Christ. That's the life that we share in this resurrected life. And so we worship together, gather together on Sunday in honor of the resurrection. But it's not the Sabbath according to the law.
Yeah. Raymond, hope that's a help to you. Thanks for reaching out to us. And Bob, we had this call that came in off hours. Let's listen.
Hi, this is Patty from Phoenix. And I just really, frankly, wanted some encouragement. I know that, and I should probably just hit replay or order the CD of it or something. I think a week and a half ago on Monday, Bob Christopher gave a nice, just how overwhelming this is and we can't fix all these problems. I can't tell you how many times I've heard we're responsible. I'm not responsible for having taken prayer out of the schools in America, et cetera, and the whole litany. I'm sure you've heard it as well. I didn't do those things. I don't know why the church keeps blaming the church. I didn't create all this stuff, just as though somehow we aren't repenting enough, and that's not why God's maneuvering. If anything, I would think he would want to hear an outcry from the lost, the people who don't know Jesus yet. You know, I don't know a single believer who's not calling out to him. What do we do, you know? Okay, thanks. Bye-bye.
Well, Patty, I think this is a good point that you bring up about what do we do when the world seems to be flying off the handle, spinning out of control? What do we do when all these things hit us just like waves rolling to the shore, just one after another, one problem after another? What do we do? And there are many people that will step up to the plate and say, "Hey, I don't know what to do, but I'm going to place some blame somewhere, and I'm going to place the blame on the church. If the church had just done this, 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 and this, we could have avoided what we're experiencing now." How in the world would anybody know that?
Yeah.
How in the world would we be able to say that with any confidence? You know, if the church would just do more and more and more, this world would be a better place. Well, we haven't been called, and I want to be very clear about this, and I want you to hear me for what I'm saying. we have not been called as a church to change the world. The nature of the world has been the nature of the world since the fall, and it will continue being that same nature, that same essence, until the Lord comes back and sets up his visible kingdom, and there's this new Jerusalem that comes down from heaven, and heaven as it is in heaven will be here on earth. Mm-hmm. But the world is controlled by the prince of the power of the air. The ways of this world are anti-God, anti-Jesus, anti-gospel, anti-church. So we're not going to change the world.
Right.
But what we are all about is snatching people out of the world and placing them into the kingdom of God. Mm-hmm. That's our calling as a body of believers, is to stand at the tree of life and offer the Lord Jesus Christ to those who are lost and dead in trespasses and sins. We can't go over there and change the world and make death a better thing. Death is an awful thing. And God is calling us to help raise the dead. Now, I'm not talking about physically. I'm talking about spiritually.
Sure. Right.
And we simply offer Jesus. And if anybody takes a look at Jesus and calls upon the name of Jesus, they are rescued. They are saved. They are delivered from the realm of sin and death and placed into the kingdom of the Son whom God loves. Mm-hmm. That's what we're called to be about, to be a part of this great rescue mission. So we impact the culture by rescuing people out of the culture. So Peter, let me go to 1 Peter chapter 1, or 2 Peter chapter 1, and I want to read something out of this. His divine power has granted to us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of him who called us to his own glory and excellence, by which he has granted to us his precious and very great promises, so that through them you may become partakers of the divine nature, having escaped from the corruption that is in the world because of sinful desire. So the nature of the world is corrupt. It's corrupt because of sinful desire. And until the Lord comes back, that's the way the world is going to be. Mm-hmm. When the Lord comes back, this world, all this creation is going to be released from its bondage to decay, and all things will be made right. But that's at some point in the future. In the meantime, we can offer up the saving grace of Jesus Christ and point people to him and trust that his spirit will move in their hearts to open their eyes to see the glory of God in the face of Christ, so that they too can escape the corruption that is in the world and may participate in the divine life that becomes theirs through faith in Jesus Christ. So that is our calling. Now, has the church always been faithful to that calling? Absolutely not. Sometimes we get sidetracked. Sometimes we take up some of the causes of this world in hopes to make the world a better place. And I think that's why John wrote a Revelation and the messages to the churches. Why? Because they had gotten off course, and God was calling them to correct course and to get back on mission, mm-hmm. the mission of proclaiming the good news of Jesus Christ. So as hearts are changed, and that's what the gospel does, we might see some differences out there in the world. But let's go about our task of lifting up Jesus Christ and allowing him to rescue people out of the corruption that's in this world so that they can participate in the divine nature. And as people see folks walking by faith in Jesus Christ and expressing his life in this world, I think people might take notice and say, there's something different about that. Yeah. I haven't seen that out there in the world.
Right.
What is that all about? And at that point, you as a believer will have a chance to give a defense for the hope that is within you.
Absolutely. Patty, thanks for reaching out. Hope that's a help to you. And friends, coming up on a milestone anniversary here at Basic Gospel, this first upcoming week of August is when we'll be celebrating 5 years of Bob Christopher's book, Simple Gospel, Simply Grace. And through this book, many people, that message has reached into the hearts and lives of people all over the country and literally around the world to bring a message of clarity and understanding that to gain God's grace is not where it's at, really. But by resting in the finished work of Jesus Christ, you can enter confidently into the simple gospel, which is simply grace. Order your copy at basicgospel.net and help us celebrate 5 years of Simple Gospel, Simply Grace.
Well, thanks, Bob. I hope many people will take advantage of that one as well. Well, let's go to Denver, Colorado, and talk with John, listening to us on KRKS. Hi, John.
Hi. I have a question. If you are a born-again Christian, love Jesus Christ, but you're getting harassment from demons, is the prayer of deliverance, is that intended to terminate the demonic harassment, or is that just for somebody who is demonically possessed?
Well, John, as far as a believer is concerned, we can't be possessed demonically. The only thing that we can be affected by are the lies that Satan and his band of demons might throw at us. We might believe some of his accusatory statements concerning us. We may believe at some point that the things of the world will bring a greater sense of contentment than this relationship with Christ. So that's how he tries to attack Christians, is through lies and deceit and those sort of things. But we can't be possessed. Why? Because Christ has already cleaned house and he's moved in. So Christ living in us, there's no room for anything else to come live inside of us. So he's pushed all of that out. He's cleansed us, he's forgiven us, he's made us holy, he's made us righteous, he's made us alive so that he could come and live inside of us. And so as we go through life and we trust him to renew our minds, we can when lies come our way, we can discern the source of them and realize that they don't line up with truth, and at that point we simply reject them. We just simply reject those lies and move on with our life of trusting the Lord Jesus Christ. So as far as you and I are concerned, John, as believers in Christ, we can get anxious about things. We can worry about tomorrow. We can feel guilty about the past. Our role as far as prayer is concerned is to take all these things to the Lord, and in doing so, we're saying, hey, we're trusting you, Lord, with this. We know that you're in control, and as we do, that's when we can experience the peace of God that passes all understanding. So just as Paul wrote about in Philippians chapter 4, be anxious for nothing, but in all things through prayer and supplication, make your requests known unto God, and the peace of God will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. So hope that answers your question, John. Sure appreciate your call today, my friend.
Yeah.
Chuck Swindoll says that it's like a Christian who has the Holy Spirit in him, and if he has to confront like 10 foes, then he has the power of 10 foes. And also, and we have the I am power of Christ in us too. And that's what, when the soldiers came to take Christ for the crucifixion, you know how they stepped back.
Well, John, we're about out of time, but that is great insight, and that's exactly right. Greater is he who is in us than he who is in the world.
Thank you so much, John. Good to hear from you. Keep listening. Call again. And tomorrow on Basic Gospel, we continue in our study through the Simple Gospel Simply Grace Study Guide. If you don't yet have a copy, you can find it through the Simple Gospel Simply Grace book link at basicgospel.net. We would love for you to join us for that study tomorrow, as each Friday, and we hope that you'll be here for that one. Well, now for Bob Christopher and the ministry team, I'm Bob Davis, and we hope you will indeed be with us tomorrow for that Simple Gospel Simply Grace study on Basic Gospel. We'll see you then. Bye-bye.